This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 12th of February, 1958. The title of this lecture is Havingness and Attend Flows in Relation to Clearing, Question and Answer Period. This tape is 33 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Please note, this tape begins abruptly as did the original master recording.
What is the mechanical definition of a postulate? A postulate is something not connected with mechanics. That's it.
All right, can I rephrase the question?
Yes, you may.
Define a postulate.
Well, a postulate is an idea, origination, intention, emanating from a thetan, which, when continued, becomes a consideration. Doesn't even necessarily belong to you. You know, I have a postulate does not mean I originated a postulate. No, that's the definition of it. Look it over. Before you crack on it. Look it over.
Well, it says what it is.
Come on, what do you want?
I want to be able to answer this question, students who ask me.
What is a postulate? Postulate is a postulate.
I agree.
It's an origination, an idea, a thought, emanating from a thetan.
Okay, how would you define an action postulate?
An action postulate. Now you've invented one. It would be a postulate which, the end product of which was action, of course. A mass postulate, I suppose, if you wanted to go into that, you would find it was mass. And so on. But now you're talking about the effect of a postulate, not a postulate. See? The thing which is pursuant to a postulate is the thing, not the postulate. And you actually have just gotten across the whole field of Buddhism, Christian Science, everything. The basic differences between Scientology and these things are many, but the most easily elucidated one is this. To a Scientologist, mass is. To a Christian Scientist, it's the postulate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Regarding, quick thing on this, one of the definitions we had of a postulate is a decision regarding beingness, knowingness, or havingness. That was one of the old definitions.
Yeah, that's very good. But it's for sure an origin from a thing. Yeah, but of course that would is a sloppy definition because it would make everything a postulate.
Yeah.
But you have to say that it's an idea or a thought or an intention emanating from a thing. Yeah.
Okay, on these flows, little by little, some of my memories are coming back on what they used to run them. And it seems to me that when we would run a flow, we would find that in flow type arrangement, we would normally start out where a flow could only be run a very little way and then it would stick, and then you'd have to go the other side or another side.
Yeah.
And as you continued, you could go longer and longer and longer and longer on any one flow, and eventually
the right.
Process would work up to the point where you could go an indefinite period on any leg without
that's right. All I've developed here is an easy rule that fits with an enum.
Yeah. Okay. The question now is how far should you go on this help? Should you just get it so that it is free on each one, or should you try and get it up to the point?
I've given you the safe limits. That's all. Anytime you free up the needle, you're all set.
Okay.
Now, you can run it longer and longer and longer and longer, so that at first it has to be a flip-flop, you know? You run one question, bridge, one question, bridge, one question, bridge. Then you could run two questions, and then, having noticed which way that the flow was stuck, having isolated it because of his calm lag, he's taking an awful long time to answer the direction it is flowing. If he's stuck on an outflow, then he's taking a long time to answer an outflow question. Get the idea? How could you help another person? He's taking a long time to answer this. But how could another person help you? He says, well, that's easy. Another person to help me. He could polish my shoes, dust my hair. You know? And he tries to answer four or five times for every question you ask. Well, you for sure have run into the direction there that is trying to flow back at him. And you'll get into a total automatic that way. But you can run it longer and longer till finally you can build it up, run it an hour on each leg. And there is the smooth way of running help. I should have covered this last week, but then I should have covered this whole subject years ago.
On this question of posture, it seems to me that this, for example, we were looking at this the other night, it's fairly feasible to be able to mark up some money.
Uh-huh.
Provided there's some sort of agreement. For example, one can postulate a precare and have some money.
Right.
Or you could postulate being in a certain area where precares look as though that's where they are and they have some money. This level of postulate.
Sure, but that's the postulate by agreement.
Yeah, well then there's the next one, which is just postulate some money.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is the level. And we were looking at, well, which is a postulate? Is it a postulate consideration? Is it a postulate with agreement?
Well,
there should be something above that where just money.
That is why I did not define postulate as a direct thought or origin, because you can postulate by a billion vias or a dozen scales.
The most usual one seems to be postulate by agreement.
Yeah, well, that's common at this time. Roman didn't do that at all. The police don't do that. They don't postulate by agreement.
Well, they don't postulate.
Oh, yes, they do. They say, you're guilty. And then they carry the rest of it out by force and weight.
How can anyone below lines postulate?
They can. This is one of the most amazing things. A garage mechanic. This is the liability of being aberrated. Garage mechanic hurts his hand. Auditor audits him. In the process of running out the engram, we find the point where he decided to hurt his hand. He said, if I change that differential, I'll mangle my knuckles like I always do. The postulate was unfortunately effective, but he had no control over it. And, we've run into that lots, haven't we? It's fabulous. It's horrible. This government down here is postulating, well, we go to war with Russia. Well, we go to war with Russia. Well, we go to war with Russia. Fortunately, there isn't much Russia. Yes?
On this matter of flows, is this what changed when a person can run a flow longer in one direction? Is that he has increased his ability to create on the subject. Therefore, he can maintain the flow longer because he's creating more of it, rather than relying off of something contributing to it.
You're very correct. It relates to creation.
So then when you can run help, for example, until he could run a long ways or indefinitely in one direction, then you could say you could create help.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, that's right. Very good. There is no finite flat point on help. I don't know how far it go. It might go all the way to clear. You know, it just might keep on going. Then eventually probably run out and fall out as just pure survival postulates. That'd be it. But it's not been done. And the mechanism of mock it up and keep it from going away has created them. Yes?
It's a question I'd like. If a particular account occurs happiness and the command is used, can we alter it through the way it was originally introduced? You make that object connect with
you? Oh, yes.
Good.
That is, of course, a different version of it. When we say connectedness, we're paying you the compliment of talking about a family of processes. And they include a tremendous number of processes. I don't know how many of them there are. I haven't even bothered to count them. It would take some doing.
Well, I'm mostly interested in repairing the precursor hand.
Yes, all right.
The present command, he cannot repair the precursor hand.
Oh, I would not say that. I wouldn't go so far as to say that bluntly.
Well, I mean, he doesn't get too much of a lift out.
All depends on where he is. All depends on where he is. If you want a repair of haddingness out of connectedness, then you have to run a version that will repair the haddingness of the preclear. I'm not being sarcastic or anything. I mean, that's true. And I know that preclears, different parts of the scale respond to different commands, and it's a job somebody's got to do one of these days of finding out exactly where on the scale each one of these processes repairs haddingness, you understand? We just simply take the broadest one that is most likely to do so and do the least damage, which the preclear can do. Now, you make that object connect with you is all but impossible for some preclears. And if carried out to the fullest, would result in a yo-yo. You'd be pulling him out and in out of his head, don't you see? To really obey the command. The best of the connectedness processes is, oddly enough, look around here and find something you could have. That's the best connectedness process. Of course, then we go on off into trio, and the last part of trio is not a connectedness process, oddly enough. It's interesting. The wilderness of the vine. These vast stretches of blank. That answer your question?
Yes, sir.
Good. Yes, sir.
As a preclear, I had a peculiar phenomenon this morning on processing. When watching the auditor and mocking up in various places with my eyes open, the auditor disappeared and another person seemed to be in his place, or other clothes seemed to be there.
Right.
What is that? Is that
fixing? That's a flip on terminals. This was covered in the first, more importantly, in the second ACC. Under the heading of ghosts. People walk around with other people with them all the time. And the second she started to come up scale on this, a terminal appeared, and you got the same reality scale I was just talking about, and you start to move up into terminal. On this particular subject. You see, anybody can be down on any given subject. And as you came back up the line, before you got the real terminal, why, you got an unreal one. Now, if the thing that showed up was another auditor from some other place, was it?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. Well, if it had been some auditor from some other place, this still applies, you would have had this. You would have just run out of stuck on the time track. Oh, there's some wild phenomena that will greet the eye on this sort of stuff. On some of these processes, the whole physical universe has gone askew. The corners of the room suddenly go out, and the other two corners come in, and the floor go out plumb, and just stay that way. You know, the guy sits there and he looks at all this, you know, with his physical body's eyes. Another one, a much more common one, it squares around on the same process, so you don't have to worry about it. It's just phenomenal. Another one, he's mocking it up, and you say, well, mock up something and make it a little more solid, you know. Mock up in front of that body, mock up pole and make it a little more solid, you know, and he does, and he looks at the pole, and the pole has blanked out the back end of the room. In other words, he can't see through his own mock-up. And the actual room area, back of it, has disappeared, and the auditor's disappeared back of the mock-up. You get the idea? All right, now if you had an obsessive mock-up going on that was being made real solid, and it got triggered, and you came up past that, then it would appear. Got the idea? And it would appear in lieu of or in front of what you were really looking at. The only time you want to worry about blackness as a person, not as a case or in auditing, is when it obscures the environment. In other words, the screen has gotten so huge that the environment is obscured. One famous case, a guy, every time he looked at his wife, he saw this huge black screen. I mean, just as you're looking at the wall there, this huge black screen right in front of his wife. It scared him. He was scared. He was a shaken boy when he came to me and said, "What can we do about this?" Oddly enough, I did it with creative process. We found out what part of his wife he could mock up until we mocked up the whole wife, at which moment we had no longer any screen. In other words, we did a direct terminal address to this, where, as a matter of fact, it was a problem in postulates. We could have said, "How could your wife help you?" We would have run into a champion comlag. Then eventually would have answered this, and then we'd say, "Well, how could you help your wife?" Just to get that off, you know. And he'd say, "Oh, I could help her in lots of ways. I could buy her fur coats, I could buy her chocolates, I could kill her, I could shoot her." By the way, have any of you run into the inversion whereby you get propitiation, which goes into destruction, which then goes into help? Well, there's a point of worship in there you should notice. Just as propitiation fades out, and as destruction comes in, you'll get worship, obsessive worship.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
The deification of women. I imagine you've taken any knight of the Middle Ages and run him on help. How could you really help a damsel? Well, he would have answered it something like this. "Well, I could rescue her from a dragon. Ah, yes, and big Comlac. I could rescue her from a black knight. I could build a temple to her. Yes, and I could write poetry which made everybody understand she was a goddess." And you say, "Boy, this is getting too pure, this is getting too wonderful," and the process obviously is flat from the viewpoint of the Middle Ages, you see. I mean, that was where it was supposed to be. Trouble is, the next command would have been almost in the same tone of voice, "Well, I could have thrown her to a wild boar. I could have torn her head off and dried it carefully so that I could hit people over the head with it." And then he might have gotten emotional about it. "I could kill her. How could you help her?" "Well, I could kill her. I could strangle her." I guess those dames back in those days, they weren't too smooth. you girls back in those times had it too good. You spoiled it. Because the general attitude of worship was an attitude of unreality. And when anybody took a square look at a girl, he generally ran her through with a spear or something. You get the idea? I mean, the habit pattern followed this. And you got all these wild tortures right alongside with this tremendous worship. You get the idea? And sometimes you improve somebody on the eighth dynamic. You say, "How could you help God?" "Oh, he's an atheist, you see." And he'll go right along the next few answers, atheism, atheism, God doesn't exist, you know. He's and so on. And then eventually he'll come up saying, "Well, I could worship him, I could pray to him, I could burn votive offerings, I could burn my wife to him." And he'd go on up the line, and then, I could tear up all the Bibles, I could tear down all the churches, I could convince everybody he doesn't exist, I could destroy him, destroy him, destroy him, destroy him, destroy him, and then finally, I could give some sermons telling people about God. There's this weird inversion. And if you look on this and see how easily it flips on help, it's just the power of the button, you see. It flips quick. An auditor has to look fast to see this phenomenon. But don't forget that all of this phenomena is heavy enough to be heavily dramatized by the Freak Clear in his lifetime. You're looking straight at crime. So so forth. You're looking at a tremendous number of behavior patterns. Yes?
I was suddenly snapped something on the way over this morning that help would be a real fast valence buster on a 5 or 6 way bracket.
You're absolutely correct. It is the fastest valence buster there is at. There is none faster. It is a valence killer. And it's a little bit odd to me that John was on step 6 when he had a valence lingering, see, because help undoubtedly had triggered this, and the mock-up processing he was doing then brought it into view. His auditor actually ought to check that area of help that he was last running, because there's something there to be seen, which he may have already overcome with the mock-ups, but say that. But you're right, it's a killer. It'll even separate the valence of the machine. Remember the machine valences we used to have so much trouble with? Bedposts and so on. So much so that if you wanted to get somebody off a professional nuttiness, or you wanted to get him out of a psychosis where he was running an obsessive beingness, that's the process you would use. I'm very glad you mentioned that. A painter, of course, paintings. A typist, typewriters. And right on down the line.
An auditor, auditors.
Yeah, you don't know with what relief it was when I ran this particular one to find out that auditors didn't and weren't aberrative. I've said that before. It doesn't run. That's one of the weirdest things. It straightens up a few little things, but there's nothing. But a cook and food. By the way, there is a stuck flow to end all stuck flow. He cooks it, he serves it. He cooks it, he serves it. He serves it, he serves it, he serves it. And you get a cook after a while, and he's on such a stuck outflow that... Well, as a matter of fact, I knew a ranch cook one time that he had an apron on that was coal black, and he wore a butcher knife stuck in it. He was an interesting cook. Cigar, short, stogie, derby hat, typical. Wore his hat all the time when he was cooking. He wrecked more food. Cigar. I said to him the next day or so after I saw him doing that, I just a little fella, and I said to him, "Gee, mister, I'm glad you don't charter back her." Following day, he was chewing tobacco. All of this stuff we've said about professions and straightening somebody out professionally and so forth applies on this help button. Wonderful button. Yes?
If you run it too long in one direction, you get amateur.
Right.
What happens when you're running a preacher on control connectedness and they go over the amateur?
Yeah, well, you've got so doggone much. This is basically an inflow universe. And you've got so darn much flow to work on if you're running an inflow that an inflow will generally work out in the end as being the direction it's got to go. And there's tremendously more inflow on the case, or more to me on the case, than there is from me too. But apparently on flows, they'll get jammed up higher than this with outflows and inflows. Those get undone. The basic one to be undone is that. You'll find out, however, that a person should be able to outflow forever or inflow forever. He's got ideas about the inertia of particles. He's got ideas that if he puts something out, why he ought to get something for it. I cured somebody of worrying about a court suit by convincing him that all of his difficulties had stemmed from trying to get something out of something. I said, now, the reason you're worried about this court suit is because you're trying to get something out of it. Yes, he says, that's right. I said, well, that's why you're worried about it. See, I wasn't auditing him. I was just coming over him, using the rule by definition. He said, well, I don't see that. And I said, well, have you ever tried to get anything out of anything? Yes, yes. Tried to get something out of my father. You ever have any difficulties with your father? Yes. What else you tried to get something out of? I tried to get something out of something else. And every time I could show him, of course, it didn't follow, really. But I'd show him he'd been in trouble because of this. And I finally got him convinced that he shouldn't be trying to get something out of something via a court. You know? And he decided at that time that there wasn't anything he could get out of it. He decided to go on with it, not so he could get something out of it. He was tremendously, overwhelmingly successful in the action.
To supplement the question, would you just continue running the verbal connection?
Oh, for sure. Don't ever run, throw it away. See, you're dealing with terminals there. Now, when we're talking about flows, we're talking about a lower phenomena. And we've already gone downscale to a point where it just doesn't matter. But it's just particles, it's just flows. There's no terminals involved. You try to get somebody to throw a terminal away, and you've got him in trouble at once. You see that? Flow is a different set of stuff than masses. Yes?
I've sometimes heard that it isn't too good to go around adopting or considering reasonable tone 20 attitudes when you're not an OT and you're not tone 20, obviously.
Well, I don't know. If you continue to postulate something, it'll eventually materialize. You'll run out all the times you have postulated it and make you feel like hell, and that you keep on postulating it, you'll come back up to it.
I see.
So I suppose somebody on the downgrade of this look has found out it was pretty horrible.
Well, now, and this contributes to why I've heard that, you know, somebody in real good shape repairs his happenings by contributing. That sounded kind of reasonable. I mean, everything goes well. But, you know, that's other people, and you're not up there. Kind of.
Well, livingness isn't auditing.
That's true.
Truth of the matter is, the giving of something is a very high goal. You have to be in good shape to give things. If you're in good shape, you can, without any liability at all. You should be able to. Why you want anything in the first place, I wouldn't know. This is a big puzzle. I don't know what you want with anything. I remember clearly the most wonderful ocean voyage I ever had as I walked aboard a transport, and I think I had an extra shirt and a portable phonograph. My baggage had all been lost. Every lick of it. No, I think I had an extra undershirt. It was all I had. Midway in this very long 30-day voyage, one of the ladies on the thing sewed up my pants where they'd come ripped. I remember the captain finally issued me a pair of sailor's ducks out of somebody's sea bag. I didn't have anything. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any clothes. Had a wonderful time. Absolutely wonderful time. Landed on the China coast. I didn't have anything for a long while. I used to play bridge in those days. It's an old game. Maybe some of you have heard of it. And I always used to be able to make enough off bridge to eat.
It wasn't a very serious question.
No, that's a very serious question. On the contrary. No, it is. A person has to get into terrific condition in order to give. And as a person postulates himself, supposing you just went around postulating yourself as tone 40 and weren't, why isn't a person able to do this? That's an interesting mechanism. It's because he runs it out before he runs it in.
He stops along the line.
No, he's long since postulated it. And then he had a tremendous number of failures, so he stopped postulating it, but he was so high toned and so forth. So he starts postulating it. And, of course, this runs him through all of his failures, and he'll feel like hell. Sooner or later, he'll give up postulating it, won't he? Well, all right, that's just when he should have kept on. And he goes on, he postulated long enough, you see, and acted on it often enough, he would eventually come up to just being a total postulate on the thing. You see, and he'd be all set all over again. It's not a facetious question, nor a facetious answer. You're looking straight at the guts of what we're doing when you're looking at that sort of thing. When you look at this thing of giving things away, why is it that you can't throw something away? You've got a lot of things you don't want and you don't need. Throw one away sometime. You'll need it the next couple of days. Now, there'll probably be an invitation to some of you to do a little more auditing and get this thing leveled out. Remember, in this unit, we were merely trying to get as many to make it as we could. That was our total goal. We weren't trying to clear the whole unit. And if we'd cleared one, I would have been gratified very happily with your auditing, which you're auditing better than your cynical instructors believed you would. My faith in you is boundless. Somebody has to check it. And I think that you will be able to get a longer look on this here before the unit is out. How many believe that it ain't possible? Come on, be honest with me. Well, there's why he's not making it. Who's auditing it? Oh, that's a rough deal. Get a little more auditing. Clearing up this factor is clearing up the health factor. You see, no cure, no remedy are run by no help. You got that? No cure, no remedy. Now, a person who's had too many remedies fail has to have help beaten to pieces. Got that? I mean, that really has got to be swamped up. That's a long job. Got that? But it'll be effective because we've already taken care of this in a couple of cases. We just, wow, you know, and we finally really straightened it out. Took quite a while. Took a very expert lot of quite a whileness. Funny part of it is, the more they had, the better they felt about it. Remember now, any preclear that comes to you under protest that is brought in by the husband or the wife or somebody, you know, and doesn't want auditing, will clear up on help. Remember this. We've got the same phenomenon being taken care of by the same button. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.